to page. I'll get there myself. Page 134, please, of our notes. Carrying on, and we've got a fair bit of material to get through, so we'll have to move fairly quickly. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to study. We do just pray, Lord, that you would indeed set our souls afire for the souls of others, Lord, and that you would teach us some things, Lord, through this course, that we retain, Lord, some of the information here, Lord, the helpful tips, Lord, and to be also challenged and encouraged by the words of Scripture throughout, we do pray. Pray it into me, Father, myself, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and strengthen me with your power and might and inner man, and just enable me, empower me at this time, and those also present, Lord, to be able to take in what is taught, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so looking at this matter of personal evangelism and the techniques of personal evangelism, and one of the things, isn't it, is obtaining contacts. Okay, you can find them casually, intentionally. Just found a contact, one of the Bunnings workers recently, spoke with him. That was a blessing, praise the Lord. So he expressed a measure of interest there, so he's messaged me as well, so I've got a contact deed or someone I can follow up on. That's not to pat myself on the back, but praise the Lord. God opens doors. I've never seen him before. Okay, came to the special orders desk, and there he was, this guy. So had a chat to him, and you never know what the Lord is going to do. We need to be God's usable vessels there for him to use. Okay, so we have to find the contact. Okay, we need to make sure we hang on to the contact, not lose the contact. And then what's the next thing? We need to, when we're dealing with the contact, what do we need to do? Determine the condition. Okay, where is this person at? Okay, and then next thing was to establish the authority. Okay, people will establish they have their point of view in life. They found it on something. Okay, on what they believe. They have their own opinions, or this what they've learned here or there, or from their parents. Okay, establishing the authority, which is the Word of God. Okay. Top of page 134, we're dealing with the matter of questions. So we just got to finish that section there and then on to present the plan. Someone has to develop the skill of being able to lead or control the conversation without dominating the conversation. One must not be rude or condescending, but we might respond effectively by saying something like, okay, so when you're dealing with someone, although it is a two-way thing, you need to sometimes you need to be in control of that conversation, or be steering the conversation back to what you need to be talking about. And it depends on what sort of person you're dealing with. If you're dealing with someone who is, someone who is deeply brainwashed by error, okay, that can be quite difficult and quite challenging. And trying to get a hold of the conversation and to where you are asking them the questions and letting them come up with answers, okay? Because some people, they're coming at you and they're asking you the questions, and you're on the back foot trying to field everything and scrabbling around trying to find answers, okay? So some people want you to be doing that, okay? But hopefully, in most cases, hopefully, if the contact is a good contact, it won't be so antagonistic as such. And you need to be seeking to be in control of that conversation and steering it in the right direction. You may deviate at times, answer a question or whatever, but then steering it back. So one must not be rude or condescending, but we might respond effectively by saying something like, why are you asking that question right now? This throws the matter back to the sinner and gently puts them on the spot. Okay, or you might say, that's a good question, and I promise I will try to answer it after we've explained what God wants you to hear right now. Okay, this deflects the question without shooting it down in flames. Okay, so you might say, yeah, that's a good question, and I'm happy to discuss that, but let's just deal with this here first, and then we'll get back to that. Okay, so that you don't end up off track here, there, everywhere, and the conversation is lacking direction of where it really needs to be going on the matter of the gospel and so forth. You ask another question. Is this question a major stumbling block or the only thing preventing you from learning about Christ? Meaning, if it is not, then let's get back to what's important. Okay, if this isn't a major question which is holding you back, okay, let's get back to it. Or to someone who constantly wants to ask questions. Okay, some people just want to keep on asking questions. Is there one question, if answered to your satisfactory understanding, that would clear the path for you to learn about Christ? Jesus answered those who sought to trap him with, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." So you just need the Lord's wisdom in that time when dealing with that person to know sometimes just giving a basic answer to that question and then moving on, okay, so that we don't get too sidetracked, or just saying, yeah, I'm happy to discuss that, but let's just deal with this first and we can talk about that later on, okay? Remember, if you don't know the answer to a question, say so. Let the questioner know that you will do your best to find the answer, but remind him or her that you are not the authority the Bible is. Whatever you do, don't bluff your way through an answer, okay? So nobody knows the answer to every conceivable question out there, okay? So it's okay. Even if they're someone who's a bit antagonistic, a bit mocking of you, you can just say, look, sorry, I don't actually know the answer to that question, but I can look into it and get back to you, okay? And if they're mocking, you say, well, no one knows the answer to every question, do they? Not even them. Make sure the prospect understands you are presenting the Bible way of salvation, not your way or your church's way. Okay, that's important because the world's full of opinions, full of religions, and it's not that this is what our church, simply what our church teaches. Okay, we're not recruiting people to the Baptist faith. Okay, we're trying to win souls to Christ. Okay. Right, present the plan. The plan of salvation has four main components. Firstly, the scriptures, establishing the authority of the gospel. Okay, so that's what it is founded on. It's not man's philosophy, it's not man's wisdom, it's not a philosophy developed by a group of monks or whatever. Okay, it's established on the word of God. Next, sin, explaining man, okay, his nature, his sinfulness, his peril. Okay. The Saviour, declaring who Christ is and what he has done. Some people would say they believe in Christ, but what they believe about Christ is different. Okay, they might have Mormon errors or Watchtower errors or a Jesus of their own imagination. They need to know who Christ is and what he has done. Because some people might believe that he died for our sins, but why they believe that Christ died on the cross, but what they believe, why they believe that is different. Okay, they might just think it was more him just sacrificing himself for humanity, not so much for our sins. So clearly who he is and what he has done. Salvation, showing what it is, okay, what it does and how it is received. What it is, what it does and how it is received. While these points may be presented in a reasonably short conversation, because of the general Bible ignorance that abounds in the 21st century society, a more thorough Bible study is advisable, okay? And I think that's, by God's grace, the way we are moving towards is that, that is what people need, is they need a very informed approach today, okay? Where a lot of people aren't churched, okay? Back probably 40, 50 years ago, it was a lot different. A lot of people had a church background, a lot of things that people already knew and understood, okay? But things are very much changing. Okay, the concept of an evangelistic Bible study. Those involved in personal evangelism must have readily available to them a basic Bible study. Furthermore, they must be well acquainted with the study, its contents, the way it is to be presented, the goals of each step, etc. Okay, so not only having the Bible study, but you need to know that study well. Okay, understand what you are trying to get across, how it is to be taught, and so forth. Okay, so that it will really help if you really know your study well. It might sound basic, okay, but to know that study, to know how to teach it, how it is presented, and so forth. There should be a core study. Okay, it says four lessons on each of the topics above. There's one that we're interested in looking at the moment, which is six lessons. Okay, plus several ancillary. Okay, or you could say supplementary, necessary, subordinate ones. Studies dealing with issues that may need to be addressed in order to continue a core study. Okay, some people may require other studies in addition to the evangelistic Bible study to help prepare them for that. Okay, so some people might need a study more so on the Word of God before they get to that to the study of the evangelistic Bible study. Others to deal with, perhaps in some cases, to deal with certain errors. They might need that as well. The ancillary studies can be developed over time as issues arise. They would include specialized Bible study lessons to address skepticism, evolution, religious idolatry, and other false hopes. Okay? Having fully developed step-by-step Bible studies available means that all church members can be involved in personal evangelism. That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, that's not just the pastors, okay, but you as church members can take a Bible study, you can establish your own contact with someone, okay, and then go through a Bible study with them. Obviously, like every ministry, it's got to be under pastoral oversight, but that is an exciting and wonderful thing if we as a church could move towards that. We'll throw that in here as well. You often have common objections that people throw up in soul winning. Okay, in Pastor Keith Piper's Answers book, page 134 to 136, there's about 10 objections which commonly come up. Okay, aren't most Christians hypocrites? Or what about people in Africa who've never heard the gospel? Questions like that which commonly come up. Okay, so a good section there. Characteristics of evangelistic Bible studies. Probably the most important characteristic of any Bible study is versatility. It cannot be so locked in and rigid that it becomes very narrow in its usefulness. Okay, so with dealing with your material, you may need to be aware of the fact that dealing with a particular person, you may need to use the same material but gear it in a way towards that person and towards that person's background. Does that make sense? Okay, the way you're going to be presenting that material is going to be different to, say, a nominal Muslim than to a lady who is 75, who's been in the Methodist Church all her life and believes in works-based salvation. Make sense? Okay, there are two general approaches to Bible studies. Fill in the blank style. This is a Bible study where various scripture passages are looked up and a sentence is completed by filling in the answers with words taken directly from the Bible. The advantage, the study may be done together by the soul winner and the prospect, or it may be done privately by the convert. Okay, so if the person really wants to do things on their own, they can, but I fully advise face-to-face is by far the best if you can do that. Okay, that's more of the last sort of resort. Okay, do it on their own, but to do it with the person, okay, secondarily to that would be the internet, okay, so via Zoom, and thirdly, I'd say them doing it on their own. But face-to-face, I believe, is by far the best. It emphasises a Bible-based salvation rather than man or religion-based, since all the answers come from the Bible. Three, it can be formatted into an online interactive Bible study, so you can do it online. The disadvantage, a study like this can become more like a crossword puzzle where the quest is to find the correct word rather than the truth the statement or question is designed to teach. So the person gets caught up with trying to, you know, get all the correct answers, and that they're focusing on it more in an academic way rather than it coming through to them spiritually. The questions asked or posed and answers sought must be very clear and unambiguous. Otherwise, the study can become confusing. It needs to be clear. The key to this kind of study is personal review and discussion. The soul winner must ensure the prospect is doing more than getting a perfect score, but is receiving the truth into his or her heart, not just simply getting the correct answers, but actually comprehending. Oh, it needs to be comprehended mentally, and then the Spirit of God needs to take that home to that person spiritually. Okay, conversation style. This is a Bible study where the soul winner uses a prepared study or outline to teach the prospect. The advantage, it's conducive to back and forth interaction, questions, clarifications, etc. This enables the soul winner to discern the comprehension of biblical truth by the prospect. Okay, and I think this is probably better than the other one. They're both able to be used, but I'd say I'd lean more towards this personally. It can be supplemented with visuals, diagrams, etc. These are excellent tools to explain and illustrate truth. Okay, I've heard Pastor Piper say that God's given us the eye gate and the ear gate, okay, with dealing with people. So it's been said a picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay, so if someone can visualize it illustratively, okay, perhaps, you know, where you've got the two cliffs, where you've got sinful man, the gap in between, and God, and there's no way that that can be bridged by good works or by any religion, okay, the cross of Christ, it's through Jesus Christ that we have access to God, okay, and there'd be others as well. Okay, disadvantage. The study can become too one-way, where the soul winner does all or most of the talking. Okay, so it's important to remember that when you're dealing with someone that they are following and they're understanding. Okay, even just because someone is sitting there and saying, yes, yes, that doesn't mean that they're actually getting it. All right? They're just saying yes, yes, and just following you. But then when you ask a question, you will more than be able to see where they're at. Or they might even think they understand what you mean, but then when they tell you what they think you mean, it's different to what you actually mean. So that's where questions and interaction with the person will help you to see if they are comprehending and what they're comprehending. A combination of both methods is the best kind of Bible study approach. Okay, that's his opinion here. The soul winner takes the prospect through a particular study, then leaves him or her with a personal fill-in-the-blank style follow-up study. Okay, so there's a course that we are looking into. I need to go through it in detail. It's called Christianity Explained. We just spoke with Pastor Evans just this past week. He's been using that course for about 30 years. And it seems like the Lord has really used that and blessed that. So he uses that in Japan. And his words were, he said, I have about a 70-80% hit rate. That was his words. So there's a lot of people who do go through that course, and the Lord does use that, and a lot of people get saved. So that's exciting. So that's one we're going to be looking into and perhaps adapting it a bit just to be able to use that. And so with that, there's also a reading assignment that goes with it. For people to be reading through the book of Mark, and you can spend time with them when you meet with them each time, six lessons, and answering their questions. So just be in prayer for that one. Conducting an evangelistic Bible study. Engaging the prospect in a personal Bible study is the primary goal for the soul winner. Okay, firstly, the invitation. Ask the prospect to give 1 hour of their time each week to do a Bible study with you. Assure them you will respect their time. Okay, so you need to try to get them to start having this weekly Bible study with you. Emphasize that it will be a Bible study to see what God has to say about salvation, rather than a Baptist study. Okay, so it's not just so you can learn what our church believes. Okay, see what God says about the matter of salvation. Assure them there will be no obligation or pressure put on them by you to make any decision or commitment. Okay, if you say let's do a Bible study, they might be a bit apprehensive. You know, are you trying to sort of catch me? Well, yes, we are. But are you trying to get me into your church? Does this mean I'm going to be becoming a member or getting baptized or whatever? Okay, you want them to not feel any pressure in that way. This is we want to take you show you this study. See what God says about salvation. The choice is completely yours. You may allay their fears. So this isn't for church membership or joining our church or anything like that. Okay, this is to see what God says about the matter of salvation. Also, don't make the study sound like it's university level engineering, you know, something scary like that. Okay, just explain to them, say there's no exams or quizzes or anything like that. There is a reading assignment that you know you do, just reading through the book of Mark. Okay, but don't try and make it sound like it's a study, you know. It might scare them off. Okay, the appointment. Okay, this is very important. Here, Pastor Piper pushes this one about making an appointment with someone to share the gospel. So very important. Set up a time and place for the Bible study. It's good if you can pin down a time. You might have to ask, see what time works for them. Saturday might not work for them, but a time that works for them. The home of the prospect is usually the best place. They will generally feel more comfortable in their own environment. People are interested in that way. Feel more comfortable in their own home. And so they may feel more comfortable you coming into their territory to talk to them rather than them coming to onto your territory. But I wouldn't rule it out, them coming to your home or coming to the church for something like that. If the home has too many distractions, noisy children, disruptive pets, people always coming and going, etc., it will be better to choose a quieter place, such as an office at the church's premises or a coffee shop. Having a partner, or spouse or other soul winner will help greatly in situations where commotion reigns. They can entertain noisy children or pets and so forth. Okay, and also, in some situations, it is good to have a second person with you, because, I mean, you're going to different environments and they're a witness too, okay? You're both a witness for each other, that if some sort of a strange allegation came up, you can say someone else there to say, no, that didn't happen. I was there. Okay, the arrangement. Sitting around a table is the best configuration for a profitable Bible study. It projects purpose rather than relaxation, okay? You could do it on the lounge, but the lounge is a bit more relaxed, okay? The table, it's a bit more purposeful. It is best to sit beside the prospect. Pointing out scripture in his or her Bible is easier when it is not upside down, okay? Or the tract or the study material you're using. It's easier if you're side on rather than trying to read and point upside down. Do not sit behind a desk when teaching the study. This arrangement is advisable for counselling, where authority needs to be conveyed, but not for soul winning, where friendship needs to be displayed. Okay, so it might feel a bit scary if you're sitting behind the desk, you know, and they're on the other side and they're feeling a little bit, ooh. Okay, don't want them to feel that way. Be alert to the prospect's personal space. Okay, generally, we as people, we have an unspoken area around us, which is designated as personal space, and people or yourself feel awkward when someone walks into it. All right? Some people, it's less than others. Some people prefer more space. Some people are happy with less. It just depends on the person. So just be mindful of that the person's not, you know, that you're not getting closer and closer and closer unwittingly, and you're really excitingly, you know, getting on with the study, and the person's going, whoa. All right, so just be aware of giving them their space, and probably even more particularly if they're of if you're a man teaching a lady, okay, just to maintain appropriate space there, not 1.5 meters, but yeah. If the radio or television is on, politely ask if it may be turned off or at least turned down. It's a pain, and it's even a distraction to you when you've got a screen there with this and that happening. Yeah, it's a pest. Some people, you know, it's hard to have a study when you've got background noise like that. All right, the meeting. Okay, so when you actually come to have the meeting, come fully prepared. All right, be prayed up. All right, it's not just another presentation. Okay, it's something God's got to take this study home to that person's heart for that person to get saved. It's a spiritual thing you're doing. There's going to be spiritual battles. There might be distractions. The person might want to cancel because someone just dropped in or whatever. So be really in prayer for it. Review the upcoming study and scriptures ahead of time. Okay, you need to know your study. Sometimes you're very busy. It's not ideal if you grab your book or whatever and you're out the door and you land at the person's place just on time and you haven't even looked at your study yet. It's not ideal. Okay, because then it's not necessarily going to come through well. So perhaps the day before, spend some time or the same day looking through it or studying your notes. You might have done it multiple times and eventually you'd barely need to, but just good for you to know where you're going before you get there. Have all your materials with you, your Bible, a pen or pencil, two copies of the study if fill in the blank, or the outline for the study if conversational, and any handouts you plan on leaving with the student. Okay, so you might want to bring a few pens, okay, one for you to point with, one for them to be able to mark things or whatever if it's an interactive study in that way. Something like that. Also, just another point about sitting around the table, perhaps if you've got a couple of people, maybe you would do it at a table corner, so you might be at the end and then have, say, a husband and wife next to you like so, and you can interact with the two of them. It might be another option as well. Arrive just a few minutes early. If you're going to be unavoidably late, call ahead if possible. Okay, contact them. Sorry, I'm running late. Okay, don't do something dangerous and have an accident trying to contact them, but just let them know, sorry, I'm running a bit late. Punctuality shows you care, all right, when you arrive there. Convicting, isn't it? Begin the meeting with some general niceties, but endeavour to get quickly to the study. So you might have a bit of a small talk, a bit of friendly chat about what's happened during the week and so forth, and then down to it. The prospect knows why you are there. Okay, so a bit of small talk and then into it. Commence with a review of the previous study or encounter. Be sure you can proceed from the known to the unknown. Okay, so you may, depending, it may be that you have to spend time with them answering questions and discussing some things before you get to the study as well. So it depends. You know, it may be that you need to have people for an hour slot or an hour and a half. Just depends. Always have an open Bible present. Refer to God's word rather than to your outline or study guide. Or at the very least, you need to tie back what you're teaching to the Bible so they know it's a Bible study. Allow the student to speak. His feedback will let you know if he is grasping the truths you are presenting. Okay, so let them ask questions. Let them clarify things you want them to understand. Okay, so just have some patience there as well. Take time to clarify and answer any questions. If the questions are off subject, either answer them briefly and get back on track or write them down and promise to respond later. Never assume the student understands Bible or theological terms. Always explain what the scripture means and what you mean. Asking direct questions is the best way to determine understanding. Okay, so not in a threatening way or like they're in trouble if they get it wrong, but just asking in a non-threatening way a question to see whether they're comprehending. All right, so, you know, a question that Brother Piper asks as he's taking people through a presentation of the gospel. He'll say, would you be so kind as to read the first heading and the verse, please? And they'll read it and say, now, what do you think is the main idea in that verse? And that gets them thinking about it, okay? And then to get back. And then if they don't understand it, then you can clarify with them until they understand it. All right? Next verse, through like that. Okay, don't assume they understand Bible theological terms. You start, you know, unwittingly putting out their big theological terms and they don't know what you're talking about. And even in some cases, we can have heard theological terms so many times and used them ourselves. If someone was actually asked us directly, say, what does that mean? We might find ourselves struggling a bit to even explain what it means. All right, so, yeah, just be careful with that. Finish on time as promised. Okay, so, you know, you've told them an hour or hour and a half, whatever it is. Okay, stick to that. Be respectful of their time. If the study goes longer than an hour or however long the time slot is, it must be at the insistence of the student. Okay, if they say, no, it's fine. I'm happy to keep going. I'm enjoying this. I haven't got anything else coming. I'm happy if we keep going for another 20 minutes, half an hour. Okay, and then you can keep going. After the meeting, consider sending a brief email or text message to the prospect to thank him or her for having the study and anticipate the next scheduled time together. So flick him a text. Thanks so much for spending the time with me Sunday. I enjoyed that. I hope it was a blessing to you. I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Components of the basic evangelistic Bible study. A number of excellent and proven Bible studies are available from various Bible-believing Baptist churches. They use different approaches and ways of presenting the four key components of the plan of salvation. This section considers some of the essential elements that should be part of any gospel Bible study. Using the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the only book in the Bible that was written specifically so that men might believe and be saved. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. It stands to reason then that John's Gospel should play a central role in any evangelistic Bible study. It teaches about A, the Scriptures, establishing the authority of the Gospel. Let's have a bit of interaction here. From the back, John, can you please read that first scripture, John 20:31, and then if we move Christina and Corinne there for the next two, please, and then to Mr. and Mrs. Oxbeer, and then through the Oxbeer tribe. Okay, sin, explaining man his nature, his sinfulness, his peril. Mr. and Mrs. Tweedy, please. There was one last one. Sorry, my apologies. John 8:34.
Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin.
Brother Green. Okay, Sister Christina, John 3:36, please.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36.
Okay, and the Ringwalds, please. Okay, the Saviour declaring who Christ is and what he has done. Rhesus, please. Sorry, brother, didn't mean to miss you there. Curries, please.
John 3:14-16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Salvation, showing what it is and what it does and how it is received. Brother John. Do you have the notes or not? Oh, okay, that's fine. Back to Brother Pashemik. Okay, Pastor Simeon, please.
John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out and find pass.
John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. And this saith unto him, I am the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and have believed.
Okay, so referring to the Gospel of John as much as possible can help allay any confusion that may come by looking at passages all throughout the Bible, especially for those who are quite Bible ignorant. Next, using the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the most doctrinal and most formal of Paul's epistles. It has been called the greatest of all his writings, the greatest single book in the world, the cathedral of the Christian faith, and the constitution of biblical Christianity. The importance of the book of Romans comes from its comprehensive explanation and exposition of the gospel of Christ and its application to the sinner and the saint, particularly in the first eight chapters, the doctrinal section. Okay, so Christian message and the Christian life. That's his outline. He's got an outline there of Romans. The book of Romans, therefore, is an ideal partner for the Gospel of John. John declares the way of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. The book of Romans explains the way of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. How many here's heard of the Romans Road? Yep. Anyone saved being presented with the Romans Road? Yeah, one, two. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Wonderful, wonderful scriptures there. Okay, so the scriptures establishing the authority of God. I'll read this first one, Romans 1:16. So then faith comes. Oh, sorry, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm up to Sister Mia, please. So would you mind reading Romans 1:16, please, John? Okay, and Brother Trent. Okay, B, sin, explaining man, his nature, his sinfulness, his peril. And Sister Hannah, please. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. And I'll finish C and D and we'll be done. The Saviour declaring who Christ is and what he has done, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 3:24-25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Okay, then salvation is showing what it is, what it does, and how it is received. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 4:7-8, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:20-21, moreover the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, and that concludes our lesson for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have learned this morning. Pray that you truly would make us to be fishers of men, Lord, to find those contacts, and Lord, to be able to present Christ to them. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.